Hi, this is Iris Jackson, and this is Miracles Happen, Dreams Do Come True. And I want to share with you today a miracle in my life, another discovery of absolute treasure, and a prosperity and success story inspiration for everyone. And she is a master natural perfumer, and I can't say enough good things about her, but just let me start by introducing the beloved, beautiful, precious, dear, talented, amazing Lori Stern. Welcome, Lori.
Hi, Iris. Thank you so much for having me. Thank you so, so much. You're such a sweetheart and for that beautiful introduction.
Oh, Lori, I really want to acknowledge you. You are what I want for everyone. You're doing what you're on earth to do. You're doing it in a way that is uplifting to all life, and one of the things that I really admire about you is your concern for animals, and I know that it's very important that everyone on earth take a look at the way we treat animals, because that the peace and progress and prosperity of our planet rests on that. It's one of the most important things in the world. And you stood up for animals when you were taking a perfumer's course.
Yes, I absolutely love animals, I have to say. I have 5 kitties and I feed a feral. And when I first started, learning about perfumery, I really tried to research everything that I could possibly research. And I started finding out about a lot of the animal essences that are used in perfumery, and mostly by, like, the big corporations, but also by natural perfumers. And so I really tried to go into it even more and try to really see what was going on. I was basically really horrified. And I think I just have such a respect for the planet and for the plants and for animals and just for life. I was just horrified about it. So in my new business, which is Velvet and Sweepy's Perfumery, I really wanted to mix my animal activism with my perfume and my creativity and my art. And that's what feels so wonderful to be able to do in this new venture, because it's so important to me to educate people about the animal essences in perfume, and if they're concerned about it, to write to their, you know, write to these big companies. I'm actually in the process now of putting something on my website, but it's going to be a while, which will really, have some advice on what to do about this. So, yeah, I'm pretty horrified about it. I don't know if you want to know the details of things. I mean, tell me how much you want to know.
I think it's important that we know, and also one of the things that I have been noticing is that the companies that use animal ingredients, they do animal testing, all use ingredients that are harmful and toxic to people. The two things seem to go together.
Yeah, it's really true. On my site, which is perfumery.com, I try to give a lot of information about this, so I'll briefly go over it. One of the things is that, they say they use, some companies will say they use musks, or if they, if they use animal musks. And in terms of the animal musks, they're using either civet, which is from a civet cat. And what it comes from is they actually capture these animals in the wild, and which I think is just horrible to begin with because it's just so fearful and awful. Anyway, they capture them. They put them into wooden cages that are too small for them. They force them into them and pretty much starve them. until they, you know, the more they're stressed, these animals, the more civet paste they'll produce. So it's kind of a fear thing, and it's also a sexual attractant. But the more they fear, the more they produce. So that's one of the things, civet cats, which is also a civet cat, which is horrifying, even though it's a mongoose. The other, one of the other materials are, is...
I never heard of this before you told me.
Excuse me?
I never heard of this before you told me.
Yeah, most people don't know. I mean, it's very interesting. I had a recent correspondence to another amazing animal activist who works with Jane Goodall, and I was telling her about it, and she's been in the animal activism world for 30 years, and she was just horrified. And it's very deeply hidden in the perfume industry. But it's around, and it's available. And when I first started studying, you know, all of this, it's available in very many places. A lot of the big perfume supplier companies, which, you know, I have bought from, do sell it. And then it's also, like I said, it's in perfumes. And when they say musk, they're either saying, you know, it's civet cat or castoreum, which is gotten from beavers that have been trapped, which, of course, if anybody knows about trapping, you know, they're lucky enough if they bite one of their legs off to get out of these steel jaw, you know, leg hold traps, which are actually banned and illegal in this country, but they're not in Canada and many other countries. So there's a couple of more things. But anyway, the problem is, and scientists have also been working on trying to make these synthetic musks for many, many years. And these musks are really problematic, too, because... first of all, they're in almost everything. They're in most of all moisturizers or body products or shampoos or let's say body washes, soaps even.
What are they called?
They're like nitro musks, so they'll say a musk smell. And what happens is, and there's also phthalates, and what happens is when you wash them off your bodies, they go into the environment and they're making the rivers and the ocean polluted. So that's one thing. And, I mean, it's just, it's an absolute nightmare. They've tried to sort of make these synthetic ones, but they're really, and they're also, they're known carcinogens and they're endocrine disorderers, meaning, how do I say this, but they're not good for boy parts. So, anyway, it's very...
not good for boy parts.
Yeah. Not very good. That's what an endocrine disorderer is. So... anyway, it's just a nightmare from, you know, the natural musks, which, as I said, you know, natural perfumers do use because they are natural, and they, I mean, they're just, they're called a paste or a gel, that, you know, this is what civet is. So, anyway, but the synthetic ones are not any better, basically, for our own bodies or the environment. So, it's really a nightmare. So.
Well, Lori, I wanted to tell you that since I have known you and you told me about this, I tried to get in contact with the perfumer for a perfume I've used for years, and adore the smell of, and I noticed that I couldn't get by the distributors on the internet. I couldn't get directly to a one of those websites that says contact us.
Yes.
I couldn't find that on there. I could not track it down. And so I think that's very interesting because I demand that these perfumers have to show their ingredients the same way that creams do. Because we have a right to know what we're voting for.
Yes, absolutely. You know, it's basically categorized under trade secrets. Perfumes and perfumers do not have to list their ingredients. Now, my bottles are so tiny, I don't list the ingredients, but anybody that would call me and want to know, I'd be happy to tell them what was in it. But these big companies don't have to tell you what's in it. And actually, when they've been interviewed, like Chanel and Lancome and many other ones, and I did have some links on my site, but they somehow it's not up there right now, so I don't know if that page disappeared, but I am working on this. But a lot of these companies will say, well, yes, we did use it, and we're phasing it out. We're not using it anymore. But then when they did these GC, gas chromatography analyses, where they're able to break down what is in the perfumes they found them, and they'll say, oh yes, but we're not going to be using it any longer. So a lot of these companies are not giving even the consumers that are writing to them or asking them the right information. I mean, it's like, which one is it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's very hard to get through. One of the projects I'm kind of working on, though, is to try to really see who to contact and what to do about this, because I would just love to see consumers become much more aware and really demand to know what's in their products. And to, I mean, I'd love to see an end to these animal products being used in these perfumes. And if not that, some kind of progress towards better treatment, because it's really a big problem and nobody knows about it. They think that, you know, I even read an article in Organic Style magazine a couple years ago that said all these natural animal ingredients were already phased out, and they're absolutely not. They're widely available. They're even available on hunter sites that you can buy them because they're lures for trapping animals. So they really are out there, and I think when I started learning about it, I just became so enraged that I just really tried to research it as much as I can. But and there's many studies on it. There's studies in Africa that say, you know, how it's unsustainable, and that they really, oh, the Humane Society has done a lot of projects trying to educate the public about it, but nobody really knows about it. So I understand it's very frustrating. Because,
well, you know, if you just look at that one thing of trapping a civet or a beaver,
yes,
for something to put in perfume.
Absolutely.
If you just look at that one thing, you can tell everything that makes the world not work, because it's like you have something I want, therefore you are an object, you don't matter. I can just take yours. And it is such disrespect, and we have to start really loving and honoring and noticing that we are one with that life, because Sharon, our friend who is an animal communicator,
yes, mm-hmm,
says that if you use something, if you eat something that involves suffering, you take on that consciousness of suffering.
Yes.
There's no avoiding that. And so if people can't do it for their own, I mean, for the compassion for the animal, we have to do it for ourselves.
Yes. I'm really glad that you bring that up, because I'm flabbergasted by it, because, I mean, for me, and I have always been involved in with flowers. I had a wedding flower business for 15 years, and we have an amazing garden.
You do have an amazing garden.
Oh, thank you.
It's just exquisite.
I really love it. I just love it. And I feel like it's really, like, making perfume is really about working with, like, the most precious things on the planet, like these incredible gifts that are really simple gifts that are all around us, you know, whether they're trees, the earth. I mean, I even have a distilled earth from India, because the earth is so important to them there. It carries all these enzymes, and it as soon as the monsoon rain hits it, all these little enzymes and little plants start growing, and it's very sacred to them. And the animals have always been sacred. I've always adored and loved animals. I keep bees. I have beehives, and I call it bee rescue, because I have people bring me swarms.
Do they get along? Do they get along?
They all work together.
They do.
They
Isn't
do.
That interesting that someone could bring a whole neighborhood and combine them with your neighborhood?
Yes.
They would work together?
Yes.
You tend your own bees?
Oh, absolutely, yes. So, I mean, we had a swarm a couple years ago that came to our garden, and when I called somebody to take it away, because I just didn't really know anything, even though I always enjoyed bees and loved them on the lavenders, I just didn't even think. And as soon as he came over to take them away, he was explaining to me about how they swarm to a place that's an ideal environment for them, where there's plenty of flowers and it's really wonderful. And of course, as soon as he started telling me everything, I was like, well, then I have to keep them, you know. So I talked him into, you know, really helping me, which, you know, he wasn't really prepared to do, but it's too late now. And so I built hives and I built frames, and I'm still learning, but I love them and I pet them. I just adore them. So, I mean, just kind of getting back to answer your question is I'm completely in awe of nature, and I feel like there's a place for everything, and we really need to respect it. And I just get so much of my serenity and peace of mind from my garden and from nature. And to me, that's what these natural perfumes are, is these essences of these plants, these souls of these plants, and you have to respect them. And I just love making things out of all these botanical ingredients. And in no way, shape, or form does it include any kind of animal torture, clearly.
And it doesn't include plant torture either, because you don't use poisons, right?
Yes. Well, I try to get everything organic. And, I mean, that's what you start with. You mean you want to start with the best, most precious materials on the earth. And there are some wonderful things about technology. I mean, they're doing all these new kinds of extractions now, and they're able to not have to use solvents, and they're able to use all kinds of really amazing materials that they never could actually extract with before. So anyway, it's really wonderful. There's a lot of technological things going on that are great. I just wish they would start, you know, they'd phase out these phthalates, which are these chemicals that are actually in alcohol, and it's not in undenatured alcohol, the organic alcohols that I use as a base for all of my perfumes, but they're in pretty much all alcohols of any perfume, and they are, they're absolutely so damaging to the environment. I feel like I just want to tell everybody, you know, the hippies were right, listen to them.
What were right?
The hippies.
Hippies were right.
Right, because, I mean, you know, everything now with solar energy, and we're looking for renewable energy resources and sustainability, and these are all the things that, you know, I've sort of been conscious of for many, many years, and it's coming to pass, right? So we need to pay attention to it. I completely agree, for ourselves and for the entire life of the planet.
Well, me too. And I want to acknowledge you, because you are very prosperous. You have a beautiful, lovely home and a wonderful husband who really supports your work and what you're doing.
Yes.
You have the most exquisite garden, and I apologize to you. We were unable to get your picture on the website. So my assistant and I are, anything we get done with the computer is just out of luck.
I'm right with you. I'm completely 100% with you. Don't worry.
It's not our department. But you are living, breathing proof that miracles happen and dreams do come true. And you are doing what you're here to do. The universe is supporting you opulently.
Mm-hmm.
And you are blooming and thriving and happy from doing it. And your products make people and animals and the environment happy. And I can't say enough about that. I got to visit your perfumery and meet Velvet and Sweet Tea. And the other cat. What? Do we have a call? Is that that we have a call? I'm just hearing it.
Sure.
Sometimes that's that we have a call. And I apologize. I always forget to give out the number. So I get so excited about myself.
No problem.
But everything you have created is...
Hello?
Yes. Hi.
Hi. Hi, Iris. How are you?
Good.
I was just wondering... The lady on your show has natural perfumes.
Yes.
And how would one be able to go about putting them in their store to promote her product in a retail environment?
Yes, that's a really good question. Should I answer this? Or?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm laughing because, hi, this is Laurie. Anyway,
hi, Laurie, my name is Al.
What's that?
My name is Al. How are you?
Hi, Al. Great. That's a really, really good question because, for me, I've been studying and teaching myself for about 8 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And I have about 8 different perfumes and some other products that I do, some bath salts and some other things. Anyway.
And some wonderful cream.
Oh, yeah, that new cream is really yummy. Wonderful rose cream, virgin oil to cocoa creme, yummy stuff. Anyway, my perfumes, my site I just put up, I guess, last February, so it hasn't been that long since it's been up. And I'm still trying to figure out what to do about retail because my perfumes are expensive. They retail at about $185 each. And I put a lot into the packaging. Each perfume comes with a scent card that I've designed from my collection of cat postcards and cat trade cards.
Mm-hmm.
So they're in little silk pouches with rhinestone buckles. They're very elaborate. And
unbelievable.
Yeah, they're really elaborate. I just put everything in my heart and soul and love into them. And I'm trying to figure out what to do about that because at the resale, at the wholesale price, I realize that I really won't make anything. So I'm still trying to figure out what I can do about that. And also the materials that are in natural perfumes, for instance, like a rose oil that I have now from the Himalayas, which is actually not even available anymore, but a wonderful organic rose from Bulgaria or a jasmine from India that's organic. Very, very expensive. So they're very expensive, and I just can't figure it out yet. So
you get what you pay for, and, you know, our retail facility specializes in natural products. And after reading what your website was, we'd love to be able to call upon you and put your stuff in our store.
Oh, that's so nice. Please contact me, you know, after the show, or email me at laurie@perfumery.com. And I say perfumery, but it's P-U-R-R, because, of course, it's really about the kitty cats, too.
Right, by cats.
But I'd love to talk to you. But it's a hurdle that I haven't figured out the, you know, how exactly to leap over yet. So at this point, I'm really just selling from my site, or people can come over and they can give me a call. They can come visit my perfumery, which is really a beautiful, magical little space.
It is so magical.
It's really fun. It's kind of a museum because I collect a lot of turn-of-the-century, even 1850s perfume memorabilia and bottles, and it's just wonderful. But, yeah, it's really hard to decide exactly what to do about that because, like I said, the materials are so expensive. But I am thinking of doing something just really limited and, you know, retail. So, yes, that's really a good question. I hope I answered it okay.
Yes, ma'am, and happy holidays to the both of you.
Thank you so much,
and
you too.
God bless you and all your projects.
All right, bye-bye.
Thank you. And Iris, I want to thank you so much for what you were saying, you know, too, because I just really, really thank you. It's as you know, it's very challenging also to try to live your dream. it's for me, I think it's the only way possible. I mean, I love making things and things, my businesses, they generally evolve out of that. But it is challenging. You have to face all your fears and you have to, you know, have a lot of patience and you have to have a lot of faith for when, you know, you're afraid things are not going to work out. And it's really wonderful. And I every day just really give thanks and I'm able to do work that I love and that I hope that, my greatest hope is that, you know, people will enjoy giving them as gifts, they'll enjoy receiving them as gifts, and they'll love wearing them. And I think it's really important as somebody, you know, who makes something that you have to put it out at some point, right?
Yes, and you know, I want to acknowledge you because you've done a lot of different businesses and recreated, and I think, you know, for me, getting started on a new thing has been the hardest part of all. It's
yes.
Like, you know, I remember, being terrified when I first started doing a radio show, and that was, like, 20 years ago.
Wow.
You know, and, or maybe 25 years ago, I don't remember. But I was terrified, and I would have nightmares about that I'd be on the radio and just be totally tongue-tied and
every different, you know.
Yeah, and or that I just walk off and forget that I was on the radio and And when I went to radio broadcasting school, the worst thing, the only horrible thing that you could do was have dead airspace.
Okay.
You know, and so I would have nightmares that I was gone 10 minutes and then I'd go, oh, no, I'm on the radio. You
know? I'm laughing because it's so comforting in a way to hear everybody, whatever their, you know, vocation is or business, that your fears, right? I mean, that's what you in fact, that's what's so amazing, I think. What is a better teacher in terms of, you know, learning about yourself, right, having to face these fears? And I laugh because, you know, when I had my flower business, oh, my God, I'd have dreams that I went to the flower market at 2 in the morning. They didn't have any of the right flowers. They had no flowers in red. You know, they had no flowers in the colors I needed. I mean, it's just horrific.
Well, it's a risky business, too, because, you know, if you don't sell them, they don't stay around and wait for you.
Oh, no, they're not. Your product is dying quickly on you. I mean, it's really true. It's funny because, you know, I had a really, you know, modest little stand on the street. I just one day went, I want a flower business, and I just opened a stand on the street. And because I love flowers, and I just, you know, I thought, that what could be more wonderful? And it slowly grew into a wedding flower business, which was great for me because it was really creative. And you could, you know, I loved making bridal bouquets, and I loved making, oh, God, huge, giant urn arrangements. And it, you know, it slowly grew to a very big business. It was just wonderful in many ways. But it was very difficult in that, yeah, you can't start to the last minute, which is like the ultimate procrastinator business is a flower business. And then you have no time to do it. And people used to always say, oh, God, brides, and they drive you crazy. And I said, no, are you kidding? I love the brides. To me, I love dealing with the people. I loved having these little intimate relationships. It's just, you know, your flowers are dying. What if it's 100-degree heat? You're going to work at 2 in the morning. You're working 20-hour days. And even though I had employees, it's very stressful. So you can imagine how you're having dreams that, you know, you're not there on time, your car's breaking down, you know. And I can say, I mean, I didn't mean to interrupt you because I completely, I'm laughing. I'm sorry.
No.
But I mean, in a radio, I could see dead air, but everything, you're worse. This is why I think it's challenging to start your own business or to start your own work and to really live your dreams because you are put up against all your fears and you really are tested and you learn your strengths, which is the most wonderful thing too, right? So.
Oh, yeah. It is, and you know, I kept being afraid I couldn't do it, and I got it. I did that for about a year, and then one of my friends looked and she went, why did you quit saying that? You are doing it.
Oh, yeah. It's so nice to be reminded.
Well, it's a surprise, though, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You go, there does, you don't know when you turn the corner, right?
Well, you know, maybe some people move ahead with totally fearless, and I say more power to you.
Yeah.
But I have had to conquer those things.
Well, that's what it's been about for me. It's really been about conquering and facing your fears. And you know, it's funny. Somebody asked me the other day what business books I read. You know, and I laughed because I said I don't even read any business books. You know, I can't recommend anything that's really helped me. But I said, you know, what really has helped me was this wonderful book. You know, Pema Chodron, When Things Fall Apart, because it's a Buddhist book, but it really, you know, it's helped me in business in the sense of like you got to keep trying. You have to get up when you fall down, and you have to face your fears and let yourself feel them, let them flow through you and exit, because that's really what a lot of it is about. And, you know, when you come through that, you just have a lot more courage and you're able to deal better with everything. So anyway, I hope that's making sense.
Well, I do want to really encourage people to visit you.
Oh.
Not only if people look at your website, they can get some idea,
yes,
of what your home and your perfumery is like.
Yes.
But would tell people how they can reach you.
Sure. Well, there's a few ways. Of course, you can always go on my website, which took me 2 years to do. I mean, I had wonderful help. But it did take about 2 years. It's very elaborate, and it's really, it's very educational. It's very fun. It's all purple. There's lots of kitty things. My collections are on it, and the perfumes, and, you know, everything that I make is for sale on it. And I do have help from my cousin. She helps me make everything, Allison. She's wonderful. But that's one way. You can also call me, and my phone number is also on the site. And if you make an appointment, it's really by appointment only. You can come visit my perfumery, which is very luckily attached to my house, so I don't have to go too far to work. I can work in my pajamas if I want. But it's just a wonderful space. It's really beautiful. It's hand-painted with wisteria flowers, and it's got all my collections and oils, and it's really just a magical place. And I love to really, I really love to educate people, and I can take you through the perfumes and tell you what's in them and tell you what's different about them. And like, for instance, my solid perfumes, I use the beeswax for my bees. I use propolis for my hives. I use honey. I can take you through it, and it's really more of a genuine experience, I think, with, you know, with the plants and the natural world, as opposed to, you know, buying, you know, commercial perfumes in a department store that really just are kind of a blast that's up for me. They assault my nose anymore. So you can always call me. My phone number is 510-528-8040. You can go on my site. You can also email me. For me, one of the best things about this business and what I love about business or having your own business is the personal contacts and the personal relationships that I create with my clients. It's very important to me. And it's what I loved about the flower business, even though everybody just says to me they can't believe it, but that's the best part for me. So,
yeah. Well, it looks like you have made every part delightful, every single part delightful. And my friend Sharon Callahan,
yes,
and I, who is an animal activist, and I'm an animal activist.
Yay, revolutionaries.
And the perfumed revolutionary.
Yay.
P-U-R-R.
Exactly, I love it.
And we visited there, and I was, I don't think I've had, I had the feeling of little girl tea parties.
Yes.
You know, where we were just playing, and there were kitties and flowers and all of these things that you made with, you know, your creativity and your productivity with, you know, what you have created is just unbelievably magical to me.
Oh, thank you so much. I mean, this was so much fun when you came over. You know, I absolutely had the most fun in the world. I mean, I am of no pressure whatsoever, and it's really, I love you to come in, and I love to just, it's, my husband calls it the Laurie world.
Yeah.
And you get to come in and, you know, hopefully learn some fun things, have a good time, and smell and sniff things and enjoy yourself. And I was so thrilled to have you and Sharon over. Can I tell the story of I got this wonderful, you know,
sure,
gift?
Sure,
well,
sure. I don't know what it is, but
oh. Well, I get this incredibly wonderful gift in the mail, and I always forget to go to my P.O. box, so I was a little late on getting this gift, but I got this amazing gift, which was some beautiful flower essences and a flower essence book. And it was from Iris and Sharon. And Sharon Callahan has this book. She's a flower essence, I guess flower essence practitioner who makes flower essences for animals. And I love flower essences. I absolutely love them. I studied a couple of years ago. I was in Arizona and studied under a woman, Rhonda Palace Downey. And we go out to the desert for a week. I mean, it was an amazing experiential class. And I love flower essences. And I also put them in all my perfumes, and I was so excited to get this wonderful letter, which, you know, Iris had decorated with fairies, and, I mean, it was just like, what could be more fabulous to get in your whole life, right? Anyway, and there's the books. And
From fairies to a fairy.
I loved it. I was just enchanted, and anyway, I was like, this is wonderful, and, of course, called them, and I was so excited when you could come over.
Oh, and let it be mentioned that Sharon came all the way from Mount Shasta to come over.
Which is really exciting. And I'm reading her book, and I absolutely love it. It's so profound. It's so rich. And I want to get some essences for my kitties, and I am taking her miracle essences. And I don't know if everybody out there knows about flower essences, but when flower essence, I guess, practitioners are, make them, it's capturing the soul or the signature of the plant. And it's just, they're emotionally healing. I think a lot of people have probably heard of the Bach flower essences, and that's really what they are. And, you can learn a little bit more about them. I have some information about them on my site also. But they're really beautiful. They carry, like, the emotional signature of a plant. And it was so fun to have you folks over. And, I mean, I just was so excited to meet both of you. And, Iris, you were just an absolute treasure, you know, in your purple velvets. And it was just so much fun. I had such a great time. So that was really magical for me.
Oh, it was for me. And Sharon, too. And she just raved about you all the way home.
Oh, well, I was really pretty blown away by Sharon, too. And I'm reading her book, and I just love it. Excuse me, sorry. I love that she has taken all the plants from her area, the Mount Shasta area, and really pretty much done her own essences from all of those. And I love that they're really... they're from her area, and they really speak to her. And her book is just beautiful. And I love what she's trying to do, or what she is doing, because she's doing it.
Yeah, she is.
So I think it's great. And I love what you're doing, and I love the bunny rescue and all of it.
The bunny rescue. I wanted to say, Lori, I am loving your perfume. I got the solid and the liquid. I don't know what to call it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's good. The liquid, I call them the liquid or the solid or the cream perfumes, yes.
And I love them. And I was telling Lori this yesterday, that in the morning before I do anything else, I get up and I put some right on the end of my nose so I can smell it.
Oh.
Before I even wash my face, and then after I wash my face, I do it again because it just makes me so happy.
Oh, I am so thrilled to hear that. I'm so thrilled. You have the honey one,
yes.
And I love that one. And,
I do too.
Oh, it's just beautiful. The honey one is my latest one. And, of course, of having bees, you know, you have to make honey perfume.
Yeah.
And also, it's a very spiritual perfume to me. One of the things that I hadn't mentioned, because I forget to mention everything, but when you're working with these essential oils and all these amazing materials, they really affect you emotionally. It's stunning how they affect you. And when I first started studying, I kept a diary of each one of these scents, you know, like vetiver, sandalwood, rose, ylang-ylang, everything. And I sat there for hours smelling them and seeing how I felt emotionally from them. So that's really important to me. I mean, I feel like my work is really based in that spiritual place of I really want to be putting out something that is healing and that people will just really enjoy and pamper themselves with, but also really healing to them. And I love the honey one. The honey one was made particularly during a difficult period for me when I had a big loss, and it was like almost like in the darkness that they're like, just never forget honey, never forget that the sweetness of the honey that is out there in the world, and to always, and I eat like a teaspoon of honey every day.
Mm-hmm.
But it's
have
really
a spoonful of sugar.
Yep. Exactly. But honey is really about that for me. It's really about the sweetness of life. And each one of my perfumes has a feel to it for me in a particular time that I would like to wear it. I don't know if it says all this on my site. I probably would like to put more about that on it.
Mm-hmm.
But particularly honey to me is about the sweetness of life. So I'm so thrilled that, you have that one, and I'm so thrilled that you like it. That's my highest goal, that people are happy and sniffing.
Oh, yes. And, you know, I want to go back to what you said about working with the essential oils and
yes.
the flower essences,
yes.
About them being amazingly powerful.
Yes.
There's a way that anyone can just test this, and it's the simplest thing in the world. And you know how Sharon talks to the animals? The flowers talk to me.
Yes. Oh, and tell me.
Well, they told me in fact, I have it written down, and I'll send you a copy of this. They said, take your favorite flower or a flower that's really pleasingly smelling to you, and first before you pick up the flower, just close your eyes and scan your body and just see how it feels all the way up and down, and then take the flower and just take a big sniff, breathe it in as deeply as you can, and then close your eyes and scan your body.
Mm.
And my whole body lights up, and it's just like all the little cells are going, yippee, 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 you know, they're just dancing around. And that's how, I think that's unconsciously why we take flowers to people who are ill.
Absolutely.
Why we take flowers to celebrate things. They are such a high vibration and frequency. And our job really is to get ourselves into the vibration and frequency of joy and stay there.
Yes.
And stay there. That's really returning to that's seeking and finding the kingdom of heaven.
Yes. I love that you just told that amazing story. I think it's so beautiful. You know, I have this gorgeous bouquet right in front of me here, and as you said it to me, I stuck my nose into this beautiful, gorgeous red velvety rose, and I feel just delicious from it. And I think what you're saying is so important. I think that we don't slow down enough really to smell the flowers and to really look at the flowers and to feel them and take them in. And, you know, it's that feeling, too, about just being in the moment and enjoying the joy of just that time right now. And I love that. Iris, I just love it. And I'm going to take that in and do it a lot more.
Well, you can do it with your perfumes,
mm.
and I have an idea that you are doing it quite a lot.
Mm.
Tell people again how they can reach you, Rose.
Sure. You can go on my site, which is perfumery.com.
And it's with you.
Yes, P-U-R-R. Just think of kitty cats purring, and it's Velvet and Sweet Peas Perfumery. It's named after two of my cats, Velvet and Sweet Pea, that I've had the longest, and they're just the sweetest. And it's called Velvet and Sweet Pea's Perfumery, and it's also, you can also get there from velvetandsweetpeasperfumery.com, but the quick way is perfumery.com, P-U-R-R-F-U-M-E-R-Y.com. You can also call me, 510, I'm in the Bay Area, in the San Francisco Bay Area, 510-528-8040. And also, if you call me, you can make an appointment, and you can come visit the perfumery, which is this magical little jewel box. And then also, sometimes I can take you into my perfumer's garden, which is really wonderful. And
boy, I recommend that.
Oh, it's really fun. I tincture a lot of the flowers and the roses and you know, violets. Many of my flowers I tincture my alcohols with to imbue them with the flower essences. And I also have a beautiful outdoor sanctuary that my husband built. My husband, thank goodness, is a landscape architect and a contractor, Gary.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have a sanctuary in the backyard that has it's like metal with Cecile Bruner flowers, you know, roses growing all over it, and an outdoor plum hot and cold bathtub and a crystal chandelier.
This is so you.
It's really great. It's pretty fat. I mean, talk about living the dream, huh?
Yeah.
Why not, right? That's, of course I need that in the backyard. So.
Well, you know, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to.
Oh, no. You can go.
Well, I just wanted to say that I want to encourage people to live their dream, and I wonder what you would like to share with people is, you know, like, what is the most important thing you've learned in allowing yourself to receive that, Lori? I don't believe it's all in hard work.
Yes.
You know, you've certainly done that. You've certainly poured your heart and soul into it, and I don't even like to call it work because
it is
your delight.
Yes, I mean, I always think, you know, the point of it all is really that my work is what I love to do, and what I love to do is my work, exactly.
Mm-hmm. And so that is a big part of prosperity. I think that's one of the most important things about prosperity is that it really matters that you're living every day of your life in the most joyful possible way. In other words, I used to have a teacher, and she said, "How you can tell is you if you are doing your divine work, you pay people to let you do it."
I love that.
I do too.
I love that. I think that's completely great. Because it really is about the giving, too, you know? I mean, that's like the highest hope that you want is you just really want. I mean, I think my whole business started out of that. I didn't even start studying perfumery thinking I would have a business. I basically started making things, loving it, and totally loving giving things away. I mean, that was my favorite thing. And then I would use all my little antique, you know, bottles from the flea market, and I'd make my own labels. And it was just such a pleasure and a joy that it then just grew out of that. It really organically grew out of that. So, I mean, I definitely highly encourage other people to live their dream. And, I mean, I just think it's for me, it's the only way. But also, I mean, when I'm thinking of other people that, you know, make things, and I love more than anything a gift that somebody made or that is handmade that's not from a big corporation. It's got somebody's, like, heart into it. And
yes.
I just love that. But to me, that's personal. And I think that it's really an inspiration to meet other people like you, Iris, that are really doing a very similar thing. And also, it's
a handmade radio show.
I love it. Yes, it is. But, you know, it's like, it's really awesome what you're doing. I mean, you're really giving so much, too, because for me, this is so wonderful. My business is really new. As I said, my site's only been up since February last year, and you're really helping me get the word out, and that's a beautiful gift. And I think it's wonderful. I really do. So I highly encourage it. And, I mean, I hope I didn't sound discouraging when I go, yeah, it's hard, and you have to face your fears. But, you know, that's all part of our growth and what's really important in terms of us getting past our fears and moving on in life. So, that's kind of part of what we're here for, too, I think, is to learn that, to learn how to surpass it, you know?
Yeah, well, I don't think that's discouraging at all. I think it's encouraging.
Good.
That you have done that, and because you and I can, everyone can.
Yes. Oh, yes. Check us out. we're doing it.
And I really encourage people to live exactly as their heart desires and to really do what their feeling nature is telling them to do. I think when people go against their feelings,
yes,
and they go against their heart, it's very detrimental to them on every level.
Yes.
And, you know, I say to people, do what feeds your soul first. Feed your soul first.
Yes. You know,
do some meditation. Look inside. For me, I just say to God, everything you have given me is really yours.
Mm.
And how would you like me? How can I spread the most love and light with everything you've given me?
Mm.
And I do look at my day and every possession and if there is such a thing.
Right.
Everything that's, I don't even really think of them as possessions. I think of what's been given into my care and use, you know. And so how can I spread the most love and light with it? And that is what people are really looking for. That is what gives us joy. That's what gives us juice. That's what gives us life. And it's not the stuff of life. And I love stuff. You know I do.
Oh, yes. We love our little toys and things, yes. Sparkly, jewelry things.
Yeah. You can tell I love stuff.
Me too.
So I just I want to encourage people to do what you have done, Lori. That's why I asked you, and to do it in a way that is uplifting and inspiring and blesses every part of life that it touches.
Well, I love that. I feel really honored that you had me on your show to talk about this, too, because I really thank you, and I really believe in the same exact thing. I really do. I wish that people, God, we'd have just a much more serene and happier world if people were really putting out love and putting out support and putting out their gifts. And because, we're here kind of trying, I believe we're here trying to sort of figure out what our gifts are and how to give them away. So I think you're amazing, and you're there.
Well, it's that thing that you can't help smiling while you're doing.
Yes.
I know when you make those little purses with the little heart rhinestones on it, you are just giggling, and, it's all the energy of the fairies and the elves and the toy makers. And
it's just so
lovely. One of the things that I can't stop smiling is when I'm making bouquets.
Yes.
And I love to make itty bitty tiny bouquets.
Oh, I love it!
With miniature roses in little tiny perfume bottles.
Oh, I'm so excited! Oh, this is so funny. My husband, of course, I don't usually tell everybody this, but his real specialty, and he's like a big burly kind of guy, is making little mini bouquets, and he's fabulous at it. And there's nothing more precious than like a little tiny bouquet. I love that.
I do too. I do too. In fact, I gave my granddaughter her first bouquet when she was about 5 days old.
Oh.
And it was all in pink. I did about 100 little tiny miniature pink roses, all different colors. And that mini baby's breath? It's called Gypsy.
Yes.
This little pink one.
Beautiful.
It was so much fun.
Oh, that's so sweet. That's just so sweet. There's such a delight in that. When you brought over that beautiful bouquet, I mean, the flowers were the most exquisite in the world, and like you could see each different one was so beautiful. It was all, I think, from your garden, which was completely amazing.
Yes, and can you believe it? The end of November.
Oh, those little pink roses were magical. I mean, totally. And I love that you're doing that, and I love that you're passing it on. I mean, that's, to me, that's the most magical thing you can do. I mean, I learned to sew from my grandmother, and she was 5 days old, did you say?
Yeah.
When she was learning and taking in flower arranging is fantastic.
Well, I just wanted to give her first bouquet.
I love it. I just love it. It's very important.
My grandmother taught me about flowers.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, tell me.
It was our most joyous thing together.
Oh. That is so magical, isn't it? See, like, we have those memories, and what could be more amazing? And, oh, it's so funny. I laugh because I have a picture in my refrigerator of Gary, who is, fabulous. We call him the baby bouquets. And I look at flea markets for little teeny, teeny little pictures and little things for him to make, And he's teaching my nephew, who was then probably about 5, how to do flower arranging. And it's just adorable,
Do you guys take pictures of them?
Oh, yeah. I've got pictures. They're so cute.
I have some pictures. I'll have to get to you. You guys will love them.
I love it.
In fact, I have a book of just flower arrangements.
Oh, great.
I put together pictures of flower arrangements, and they give me so much pleasure.
Oh.
Because you know how in your garden different things come up different years, and you'll have a great crop of this. And
yes.
Then,
oh, yes.
You know, and then it won't be the year for
yes.
peas or... Well, you'll go, oh, I had that flower. It's so fun. Lori, thank you so much for being here today. I hope you'll come back. Blessings to you and all your projects and all you hold dear. The most wonderful holidays ever for everyone. And a year of dreams come true that are 1,000 times more wonderful than you ever dreamed possible.
Oh, Iris, that's just the most beautiful thing in the world. I just take that in, and I thank you so much for just your incredible love and generosity. And I thank you so much for having me on your show. I think you're incredible, and I love how you do an interview, and there was no dead time. We could keep running on for hours, I know.
No. Well, we have to go now, or we're going to get kicked off.
All right. Well, thank you so
thank
much for having
you,
me, and so much love, and I wish you all the best in everything in your life, because
yes.
I just think you're fabulous. Just
likewise,
thank you.
Likewise, my darling. And likewise thank to all of you listening, and God bless you, and may all your dreams come true.
Thank you.